Sandow.com.
My name is Damian Sandow, and I am here to help all of you. As your intellectual savior, I can no longer stand idly by and watch as you, the unwashed masses, plunge further into the bowels of your own inadequacies and shortcomings.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
No, no, no! This is supposed to be about me! This was supposed to be the greatest night of my life! And not only will I be the champion, but I will be the face of the WWE!
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
Let me tell you something, you self-righteous little puke. I am an A-plus player. I always have been, and I always will be.
And Lindsay Ward.
I have shattered glass ceilings. I have broken down doors. I have done more in 1 year than all of you have done in your entire collective careers.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
And we are live, ladies and gentlemen, around the world on the World Wide Web. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Raw Post Show, brother, on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I am Sir Rockin', joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
I think I'm back.
Think you're back now?
Think I'm back, yeah.
She's back now, and we are presented as always by PW Mania and Wrestling Figure Wednesday. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211. Oh man, what a night. What a night this Monday Night Raw turned out to be.
This was pretty epic. I must say, this was pretty epic.
Things you didn't think would trended tonight on Raw. People showed up that you never thought you would see it together again in the same ring happened. And Monday Night Raw opened with Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar. Paul Heyman introduced himself and says he is the advocate for the reigning and defending WWE champion in 6 days, the conqueror Brock Lesnar. He wants to give us all a taste, though, before Raw truly begins. And what happens on Sunday, he says, basically, he's here to explain the history that will be made when Brock Lesnar beats John Cena at SummerSlam. He says that his client wants to sell SummerSlam to the C Nation. He wants to address the fans of John Cena. And when you step into the ring with Brock Lesnar, bad things happen to good people. Paul Heyman says that those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. We then have some historical perspective from Paul Heyman, which we saw Brock Lesnar doing the thing at WrestleMania to the Undertaker that we shall not mention, and said if you were a fan of the Undertaker, he told you before WrestleMania, and he did tell us before WrestleMania that he would... Go ahead.
That doesn't mean we have to like it, Paul.
And we also got to see, once again, the famous meme that's been going around the world, the guy who did the shock face when Taker lost. He said, if you were an Undertaker fan, you wouldn't have missed WrestleMania or in fact, you wouldn't miss SummerSlam. When Brock was rookie, he got his hands on The Rock. He said if you were a fan of The Rock, you were going to watch this show. Brock beat The Rock, and he was out of action for 6 to 8 months. Which is
he's
a true
story. Shooting a movie.
Huh?
He's also shooting a movie. Yeah. I'm trying to poke holes in the story.
You're not allowed to poke holes. If I'm not allowed to poke holes, you're not allowed to poke holes. Just saying.
Fine.
He said when Brock was finished with Hulk Hogan, he was gone for a year, which is actually true. If Hogan came back for revenge, there would not be a birthday celebration tonight. And he said, if you're a fan of John Cena, don't miss SummerSlam. When Cena says, you can't see me, he ain't lying, because when Brock gets done with John, you aren't going to see him around anymore. Paul says he's gotten his hands on John Cena before. We got a historical perspective from Paul Heyman talking about Extreme Rules and how Brock faced Cena there. While John won the match, he lost the fight. The beating Brock laid down on Cena is something that needs to be addressed. When John got that victory, the tainted victory, that Brock won't make an excuse, but Heyman will bring it up, he was still battling diverticulitis. That Brock was Brock at 50%, and he still laid down a beating that John couldn't get up from. Brock is now at 100%. The beating John will face at SummerSlam is that of Shakespearean tragedy. And then, well, Mr. Heyman decided to throw down some knowledge.
This Sunday, Brock Lesnar is at 100%, and the beating that awaits John Cena is that of a Shakespearean tragedy.
Told you.
He's a 15-time champ. And he likes to have his fun, but not at your expense. So let us school you, son. No, we're not from West Newbury. No, we can't hip-hop like you. My client is the conqueror. I'm just Brock's advocating Jew. You see, my name is Paul Heyman, and my client is the Beast. And on the 17th of August, on your title, he shall feast. You don't like Paul Heyman guys. You think their attitude's too smug. You gonna beat Brock's ass 'cause you the doctor of the thugs? I mean, you've beaten all the best. But now Lesnar's on your plate. You say your time is now. Brock says your calendar's out of date. So here's some free advice with SummerSlam drawing near. Get it out your damn system when you say the champ is here. Because we're 6 days away from the West Coast biggest arena, where my client, Brock Lesnar, will conquer John Cena. I almost forgot. Ladies and gentlemen, my client wishes you to know that as of this moment, this is Brock's house now. On Sunday, it'll be Brock's title. But in the meantime, my client has already conquered the WWE Universe, which makes all of you Brock's servants. This is Brock's house. This ring is Brock's home. And if you'll excuse me, I'm about to take the man of the house out to dinner. We do understand John Cena has something to say. A huge birthday celebration for Hulk Hogan. Don't let this party get out of hand. Because when the man of the house is done eating dinner tonight, he's coming back home.
Alright, so there you have it right there.
Shut down the show, turn off the lights, send the people home. You know what? First 10 minutes of the show, Paul Heyman wins the night. Good Lord Almighty.
He's the advocating Jew, and John Cena is the doctor of thugs.
This was brilliant. I mean, seriously, this was nothing short of brilliant.
Pure gold by Paul Heyman. Brock Lesnar looking intimidating. Paul Heyman can sell anything, and he sold this match. If you weren't looking forward to it before Sunday, for $9.99 on the WWE Network, it's going to be a fight.
Yeah, this was phenomenally good, and you really can't expect anything less from Paul Heyman. He is literally one of the best managers, if not the best manager today working. I mean, you can't touch him, and he's hitting his prime like he's never hit it before.
Because for the first time in his career in the last 2 years, he has nothing else to worry about but being the advocate for Brock Lesnar.
Which is pretty sweet.
It's a pretty sweet deal if you can get it. So great hot start to the show. Will we see Brock later? I guess we'll have to find out. We had birthday wishes for Hulk Hogan from Florida and Weird Al Yankovic. Up next, Roman Reigns is in action, but before he can fight, we see not the Demon Kane, but Corporate Kane.
He's back!
Kane in his suit with red tie comes out and, well, talks about he's now once again the director of operations again for the Authority. He tells Roman that last week in your match against him, you were able to emerge victorious, but that was like almost like beating two men 6 days before facing Randy Orton. The Authority wants to see how well you will do when you face two men. These men being Ryback.
Get your line straight, honey. Get your line straight.
He was on a roll, and then 6 weeks. Oh, my bad.
Yeah, and you could tell he's just like, oh, crap.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, he's back. Corporate Kane's back. I'm so happy. He was rocking that suit. Not that I didn't mind Masked Kane, but I really actually kind of dig Corporate Kane more just because he's such a sarcastic asshole. It's amazing. I love how he does the character in the corporate setting. Mm-hmm. And there's something so incredibly villainous about him when he's the director of operations that he doesn't have when he's just Kane.
Yeah.
And that's the fact they put the brain power behind him as the director of operations, which Kane is a very intelligent individual. And the fact that they're now letting him have a brain after all these years makes me so happy because there's a whole other side to him from just the physical side of what he can do to you.
Right.
Dude's got some skills.
He has some skills. So we have Ryback and Curtis Axel taking on Roman Reigns. It was a fine match. My only problem is, well, what happened at the end? Ryback and Axel get disqualified after they sent Roman into the ring post, ignoring the referee set, you know, really don't do it, don't do it. Basically, you know, defying authority, as it were. And, well, then they get beat down, eat Superman punches and spears by Roman Reigns. So Roman Reigns stands tall, does basically his entire moveset, drop kicks, spears, Superman punches. If you're going to have him lay them out, have him win. A guy like Roman Reigns right now needs wins, and this would have been a big win leading into SummerSlam. though he wins the match by DQ, it's not really a win.
Yeah, you needed to have Roman win clean here to look strong going against Randy Orton. You really, really, really did. Having him win by DQ doesn't help him. It actually hurts him because it makes him look weak. Even though he had a really strong showing in the match, it was something that he needed to win clean. He's essentially facing one of the faces of your company, the number one heel in the company right now. You guys are trying to build him up to be the next guy, to be the next John Cena. You need to start putting him over strong, which will probably happen at SummerSlam, to help build his momentum, but this didn't do him any favors. And on your go-home show to the pay-per-view, you need everybody else to look strong. They booked everybody else strong, except for Roman.
Roman was in the ring with Renee Young. She asked him about the match with Renee in SummerSlam. We had Roman chance. He asked Portland if it looks like he's ready. Randy left him laying recently, but Randy thought that Roman stole something from him. But Reigns says he didn't steal anything, but he will take everything from Randy on Sunday. Roman asks if the Viper... What is a Viper when its fangs are knocked down the throat? It's a worthless little worm? Apparently... If you lose your teeth, you are no longer a snake. That's what it appears to be, at least in Roman Reigns logic, anyhow.
I got nothing.
In the back, Corbin Kane is talking with Randy Orton. Randy says that Roman says that he is not afraid of the Viper. Axel and Ryback couldn't get the job tonight. The Demon couldn't do it last week. There was a, stare down there. And, well, Randy says he will end Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. And before Randy leaves, Kane says this. The match on Sunday will be one of Orton's biggest challenges, but the Authority wants to make sure he's ready. That is why Randy, tonight, will face Sheamus, because it's what's best for business.
Okay. So here's the thing. Randy... He's not the Demon anymore. He's now your boss. Just like to point that out, you know, that he kind of has power over you as the director of operations. You should maybe sort of not be an asshole to him. Because he can kind of make your life suck for a while if he really wants to. Especially since you're sort of out of favor with Hunter and Steph.
I got nothing to add after that, so we move on. Match number two on the show, Seth Rollins takes on Rob Van Dam. It was the match that we were supposed to get last week until the Authority decided to change the match. Solid, good match between the two. They may mention that the briefcase is close to Seth Rollins this week, like it wasn't last week, but that's besides the point. Van Dam hit a Rolling Thunder. We had a thrust kick, split leg moonsault, close near falls, but in the end... Monkey flip out of the corner doesn't work. Rollins pushed Van Dam down out of the corner and hits him with the curb stomp for the victory. Your winner, Seth Rollins.
Great match.
But the bigger story is what happened afterwards. So Seth Rollins is walking to the back and he's looking at all the big and small packages and presents left for Hulk Hogan's birthday celebration tonight. And there's this one very large box standing there. He shakes the box, doesn't feel anything. He looks behind it, oh, there's nothing there. And, well, wouldn't you know it, Dean's in a box.
He kind of walks away thinking, oh, I'm just crazy, I'm just imagining things. And out of nowhere, Dean pops out of the box, and he pounces on Seth and attacks Seth. I honestly really love how they're continuing to keep the pressure on Dean Ambrose's side when he's going after Seth. I mean, he's just nothing short of relentless, and it's awesome. This is how you do this.
Yeah.
You know, when somebody says, I'm going to be on your ass 24/7, Dean is living up to that promise. Like, he's borderline stalking Seth at this point.
So they brawl a little bit. Rollins finally is able to escape through the crowd. So Dean's in the ring and says to Seth Rollins, he tells him to run while he can because he can't run away in 6 days. And for just $9.99 on the WWE Network, he is going to get more than his money's worth. I love the little digs and plugs of the WWE Network by the guys tonight.
Yeah, very nice. Very well played.
They were hyping the network all night long with graphics and saying $9.99, and you all should get the WWE Network. It is worth the investment. We've been praising it on the rack Thursdays, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, for those tuning in for the first time. It's something you have to watch. It's WWE Network. It's awesome. Get it now. And if you're overseas, it's available in most places tomorrow, so get it. WWENetwork.com.
Yeah, just to point out, if you're not interested in any of the other network programming, it's worth it just to get it for the pay-per-views, because for $10 a month, you can't beat that. You seriously can't.
You really, really can't. So we come back from break, and the principal owner of WWE, Stephanie McMahon, is out to make her confession. She says, as the principal owner of WWE, it is her mission to do what's best for the WWE universe. She says that sometimes she gets negative information and about a superstar, and, well, mentions Daniel Bryan underwent surgery a few months ago, and he's rehabbing the injury. And she brings out Daniel Bryan's physical therapist, Megan Miller. She was in the crowd and says Megan has something to confess and wants Megan to tell the entire WWE universe. And she says that she's gotten to know Daniel and Brie, and her and her boyfriend have gotten to know them and have had dinner with them. She's doing whatever it takes to get Daniel back into the ring. She said Daniel has an appreciation for WWE and its fans. And then she starts to sort of cry and puts her hands over her face and gets choked up and talks about how her boyfriend left her, and she can't be Brian's physical therapist anymore. But why? It just happened so innocently. At least at first. Steph wants to know what happened. She says she's been having an affair with Daniel Bryan. No. Stephanie says that she's so sorry and she hugs Megan. Brie Bella comes to the ring to confront Megan. Stephanie says that it is the wife who is last to know. Stephanie says that Daniel threw Brie away. Like, what did you call me? Oh, yeah. A piece of trash. Stephanie says Brie has problems with her, not with her, but with Megan. Stephanie says that Daniel told Megan that Brie was a dead fish. At this point, Brie slaps Megan as Stephanie screams, "Yes, yes, yes." Brie then tackles Stephanie and puts her in the yes lock. Stephanie taps. Officials pull them apart. And then Stephanie says, it's not happening at SummerSlam. It gets finished tonight. Alright, so where do you want to begin on this one?
You know, I heard a lot of people complaining about this. I heard a lot of people who were like, oh my god, are you serious? And it was corny, and it was cheesy, and it's Steph just being Steph and her all her brilliance. And it's like, for what it was well done. But it's like, you knew when Steph said, we're going to finish this tonight, that obviously that was not the end of this. And the payoff for what this was nothing short of genius.
I originally thought they overthought this, and in a way they did kind of overthink it. But what happens later proved to be a nice twist. As me and Tim were talking during the show, and it was just sort of like, we didn't think this was the right way to do it until we saw the finish. Because this was Tim's fail of the week, since we don't do win the fail on pay-per-view nights, apparently, but anyway, that's Tim's fail. Spoiler alert, if he's going to complain that I gave out his fail now anyway. So we'll talk about what happens later.
Now, we'll bring up LeMann's point for the later stuff later, but this was, yeah, this, people are basically like, you know, or LeMans, there it is, sorry, I'm trying to stall while I look for it in the chat, you know, that, you know, why would Brie act like, you know, she believes it? Why would you believe anything Stephanie McMahon says? Well, here's the thing. Stephanie McMahon didn't say it. The therapist said it. And that's a more reliable, trustworthy source. And it's kind of that heat of the moment thing. It's kind of like if your best friend or a good friend or someone you know looks at you and goes, oh yeah, I'm having an affair with your spouse. It's kind of one of those heat of the moments, what are you talking about kind of things. And then Steph urging them on doesn't help the situation at all. In fact, you know, it kind of incenses it further, obviously, as Brie slapped Megan.
He brings up having Steph bring out anyone would automatically think she's put her up to it. And you did hear her say, did she put you up, her up to it? Did she put you up to it? She repeated a few times. I think it's more anger than anything else that led to the slap.
Yeah, it's something of, it's the whole situation. It's basically designed to get in Brie's head and get under her skin. And it's the setup for something further that happened later in the show,
which we'll get to here in a few minutes. More Hogan celebration memories from Drew Brees, AJ Hawk, and Aaron Rodgers.
Hey, Aaron Rodgers.
Match number 3, Jack Swagger versus Cesaro. Good match between the two. What will make
a good match?
What will make people cry inside? That Cesaro tapped out to the ankle lock.
The curse of the Heyman guy. I swear to God, it's the curse of the Heyman guy. I don't know what else to say. I mean, I get that they're booking Swagger strong. I get that you have to keep Swagger strong as he's feuding with Rusev. But I don't get it. It's like Antonio Cesaro was so hot coming out of WrestleMania, and then I don't know what happened. It's like, really? You're relegating him to a jobber now? I mean, it's like, anybody outside of Brock Lesnar and maybe CM Punk that end up with Paul Heyman, it's like the kiss of death. It seriously is.
Yeah, and he mentioned in an interview that it sort of didn't go the way they had hoped. That trying to transfer the heat from one person to the other just didn't do it, as everyone's he's more known for being Brock's guy, and it just didn't work the way they had hoped.
Yeah, I can see that, but it's something of...
He's really known for being a Brock guy, and same thing with Axel and Ryback, where just... it wasn't real. It didn't feel real. The thing that when it worked with Punk, because it was real. With Brock,
yeah, because it's real.
With Brock, it's real. Everyone else, they're just not buying the way they should.
Well, it's something of, you always know that Heyman doesn't keep multiple clients, and whenever Brock's gone, Heyman has to have something to do. And so they find him someone in the interim while Brock is gone, and then once Brock is getting ready to return, Heyman always drops them. And it's just, it's something of, yeah, it's just, it's lacking that realism. But it's, you know, just to have Heyman there, because I think the thing that irritates me is Axel's actually pretty good. They don't give him a chance, but he's actually pretty good. And had they let him continue, I think it would have, and or maybe not had Heyman speak for him as much, it might have helped. I don't know. Because the thing is it's kind of like when Vicky managed people. Vicky got all the heat, and it didn't do anything for the person that helped.
And that's the problem.
Yeah, so it's like you kind of... it works for Brock, because Brock can get just as much heat as Heyman. Because all he has to do is show up and be a dick. Which he's very good at.
Because he's the conqueror, he's the beast. You just look at him and you go, boo.
Yeah. And, you know, so Brock and Heyman go hand in hand like that. But it's just, it's like, for everybody else, it's just the kiss of death. And even Punk, to a certain extent, it was a little bit of a kiss of death.
After the match, Zeb says they are in Portlandia. On Sunday, they will be at SummerSlam. He says it will be the Portlandia. He says a message for whatever her name is, for that lovesick puppy. After SummerSlam, everyone from Los Angeles to Chernobyl will remember the 50 stars and 13 bars. Jack Swagger will own a Rusev. And he goes, we the... And then the flag of Russia drops. Rusev music plays. We go to break.
Nice little promo. Nice segment.
Nice little program, because it's been hot for so long, there was nothing more you really could do between the two. So the flag match on Sunday is coming up. And a reminder, we'll be making our predictions Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, on the rack. If you missed WTR, go back and listen to their predictions right now at wildtalkradio.com. And WTR will be live after SummerSlam at 11 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. With that being said, one of the more anticipated matches coming up at SummerSlam is Chris Jericho versus Bray Wyatt. And Michael Cole sat down with both men earlier today.
Do you remember your dreams when you were a child? Because I remember you. I remember a scared little boy who wanted nothing more in life than to live up to his daddy. I wonder, can you still see the disappointment in his eyes? It drowned you. It left a hole so big that the only way you sought out to fill it was by becoming a savior of your own. But you can't even save yourself. See? I know lots about you, Chris, but you don't really know anything about me. So let me tell you about me. Let me tell you about how every time I try to dream, when I close my eyes, all I hear is their scream. About my reoccurring nightmare that happens over and over and over again. But never once, Chris, did I claim to be a savior. Because I'm not. Matter of fact, the only thing that I live for in this life is to help people who can't help themselves. That's the thing, Chris. You can't just whisper them words anymore. You have to scream it until their ears bleed. And that's it. I figured it out. The key to the universe. The only way to truly help someone is to hurt them in a way. And believe me, Chris, as long as I've been on this world, I have hurt a lot of people. And for this, I am not the least bit sorry. I can't resist the urge. There are no consequences for my actions. I have no conscience. I do not heed to the laws of mankind. I do not believe in heaven or hell. Matter of fact, I hate everything that this whole damn world has ever created. Including me. I am a monster, Chris. I'm Bray Wyatt, the eater of worlds. The human race is decimated with its lack of fortitude. You, Chris, you exemplify that weakness. But there is a pale horse on the horizon, Chris. And he's coming for you. That's all. This smile will be the last thing you ever see. Savior. Savior. not a savior, Wyatt. But after 15 years of being in the WWE and all the things I've done, wins, losses, championships, everything in between, I've become a survivor. And one of the reasons for being a survivor is you never know what you're going to get with Chris Jericho, Wyatt. A lot of different faces, a lot of different sides to Chris Jericho. I can't promise you which Jericho you're going to see at SummerSlam, but I can promise you this. I'm going to follow the buzzards. I'm going to grab them. I'm going to shove them right down your throat. I'm going to be the first man in WWE history to leave you speechless and shut you up for good.
Pure evil in the voice of Bray Wyatt.
Sweet, holy baby Jesus on a tiny little pony. I needed ice for my ovaries after this. Oh my god.
He knocked it out of the park.
I love how he just looks at Michael Cole and he's like, leave.
Just go. Just go away. We don't need you, Michael Cole. Don't need you. I got this.
Like, Michael Cole finally he summons up the nerve to interview Bray Wyatt, and he's dismissed. I love it. Like, that was good, but you and I had been talking last night, and we had been saying we were waiting for that war of words between Jericho and Bray.
Uh-huh.
Where it's that battle of ideologies, it's that battle of personalities, of everything. And you have the verbal battle before the physical, and I was kind of anticipating the verbal battle over the physical battles, just because you have two guys who are fantastic on the mic, and they can really match each other. This isn't like Cena and Bray, where Cena's not going to necessarily take Bray seriously, or he's really kind of outclassed by Bray in terms of a promo. Jericho can match Bray word for word, promo for promo, and when you get two people like that, it can get really good really quickly. And so this was kind of the start of what at least I know I've been waiting for in terms of a war of words.
We got serious Jericho because he was in his suit tonight. No fancy light up, no nothing. He was in a suit.
Yeah, and I like that. I like that Jericho is taking this seriously. I like that he sees Bray as a threat. And I like how this is just really about dominance. This isn't about anything else. This isn't about to prove who's right or who's wrong.
I'm going to agree with LeMans at this point. It's been more Wyatt than Jericho, and yes, Bray was stronger tonight. Jericho came back with a couple nice lines. It would have been nicer to see Chris come back with a few more. This was more about getting Wyatt over and strong than he was. Chris was more of the background to Wyatt's evilness tonight.
Yeah, Chris is trying to do everything he can to make Bray look really, really strong and get him over as best he can. And the thing about Bray is he works great in a dark room with a spotlight on him or in a ring. But when you put him in the setting he was in, there were a couple moments where it was a little outlandish, but not too bad. But it's something of, you can tell that character fits in a very specific environment. It doesn't lend itself to really much else, because he looked very out of place, and it's meant to look out of place. But it's just like Bray Wyatt in a formal setting, just somehow it didn't click right, but he made up for it with the promo, because it was just really good.
It was. So looking forward to see what they do Sunday, and we'll see what they do on SmackDown as well. Up next, AJ Lee took on Eva Marie, and I can't believe these words are going to come out of my mouth. Eva Marie defeated AJ Lee with a roll up for the 1, 2, 3. Due to Paige's distraction as she was skipping around the ring and her music was playing and all that fun stuff. But on Monday Night Raw, after we had this long discussion on the rack about Eva Marie, Eva Marie wins on Monday Night Raw.
They're trying. And to be fair, what she did, it wasn't bad. It wasn't overly good, but it wasn't bad. It was just kind of in the middle. And that's because she has somebody that can lead her. I think the problem with the Bayley match on Thursday was just that Bayley doesn't know how to lead yet.
This is true, and well, even they really didn't do anything tonight. They did headlock and roll up. That's basically what this match was.
Kind of.
So after the match, this is where things got interesting, as Paige was on the ramp and well had something to say.
Listen. I knew when I pushed you off the stage at SmackDown you were going to be mad. So, in addition to me supporting you here tonight, I wrote you a little bit of apology. Roses are red. Wood chips are beige. I'm sorry I pushed you right off this stage. It's not like I hate you. I like you a bunch. But you just have that face that I want to punch. I'll see you this Sunday. But this part is vital. I'll be skipping my way out of SummerSlam with my Divas title. Love ya.
Oh, classy by Paige. Following the poem, AJ went crazy and snapped and destroyed Eva Marie on the outside. Mounted her, laid her out, threw her around the ringside area. So there you go.
Yeah, kind of makes up for the loss. But Paige was really good.
Looking forward to what they do on Sunday. I have high expectations for the match on Sunday.
I fully expect this to be 100 times better than what we got at Battleground. I expect a lot of the matches on Sunday to be extremely good because they did not hold back tonight. They're not going to hold back Sunday.
Nope. On main event, there's an open challenge for the WWE Tag Team title, so you never know who will show up and challenge, so we'll see you on main event. We have John Cena, the champ, coming down to the ring. He says it with his brand new red t-shirt available at WWEshop.com, but the crew didn't get the memo of change the colors of the Tron and stuff, so maybe someday they'll actually go to red, not green, brother. Anyway, John introduces himself as if he was Paul Heyman. You know, ladies and gentlemen, my name is John Cena. He says in 6 days at SummerSlam, he's going to be maimed and conquered by Brock Lesnar. That is, if you believe the prognosticators, there will be pain and punishment on Sunday. Brock will give him a beating of a lifetime. There is one thing Brock will not do on Sunday, and that is win. This Sunday, Brock Lesnar will not win. In order to win, he will have to make John Cena lose. John Cena says that he's not laying down for Brock Lesnar, and yet you can take that any way you want. Brock Lesnar does not deserve the WWE Championship. He says that he is not saying that he's unbeatable, because one day he will lose the championship, but it will not be on Sunday, and it will not be to Brock Lesnar. John says that he does not like the guy. Brock is arrogant and he's a bully. He is selfish and uncaring. Every superstar knows this about Brock. Behind the giant screen is not a social club. Brock's idiotic view of the business does not reward him with deserving this title. He said he has shared a lot of great moments with the fans. He's heard them cheer. He's heard them boo. He's heard them that he's been told he can't wrestle. Baldy's got what he's been saying, cheers, boos, and a chant of you can't wrestle. And he's heard, let's go Cena. And he's heard Cena sucks. John says he comes with a smile on, with a smile on his face, and people ask the question, when does John Cena turn? When does he say enough is enough? When is he more about the shirts and the wristbands and the Kmart shoes? When does John Cena unleash hell? This Sunday, he fights a beast, and to fight one, you need to be one. You will see a John Cena necessary to keep the title out of the hands of Brock Lesnar. Brock doesn't deserve the title. Brock believes that this is how, this is his house, and it belongs to him. That is not what the title stands for. Any idiot with a pea brain knows that this house always belonged to the people. This is your house, he said. John tells Brock, if this is your house, there's a stranger standing in your living room. Brock, there's a stranger in your house right now. Try to come down here and kick him out. John says, mate, we may have interrupted his dinner. Maybe he has diverticulitis or hepatitis or punk-ass bitch-itis. He tells Brock to come on and tear him apart. He says that he's giving Brock, he has many fingers, and he's giving Brock the middle finger. John tells Paul if he wants a response, he won't repeat history, he will make it. He will be the one who beats the one, as this Sunday, the champ is here. Strong promo by John Cena. He got his lines in, he had his ha-has, but he was serious, and he was straight on point.
As I sat here and I listened to that promo, the only thing I could figure is, like, where the hell was that John Cena when he was feuding with Bray Wyatt?
I thought the same thing.
Like, seriously, it's, you can tell that John Cena sees Brock Lesnar as a legitimate threat, whereas he never saw Bray Wyatt as a legitimate threat. And that's where that feud went wrong, and that's what irritates me, is that Cena never took it seriously.
Right.
And, but now he's taking this seriously, partially because he's being forced to take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is Brock has the track record, and this is where Bray doesn't have that, of just coming in and destroying people. Again, what happened at WrestleMania 30, you can't argue with that. Brock Lesnar went in there and beat The Undertaker's ass. Beat him so bad, he had to go to the hospital afterwards. I mean, it's just something of, you cannot argue with that.
Nope.
At all.
No, you really can't.
And so that makes him... And that's what makes him a legit threat. And it's just, but it's something of, it's irritating, because it's not just Bray, it's like pretty much every other past feud, is when Cena's confronted with someone that's supposed to be a threat, and he doesn't see them as a threat, he doesn't take it seriously. Whereas Brock, you're forced to. You can't take Brock lightly. If you do, Brock will kill you. He's gonna kill you either way. But he'll just kill you even further if you don't take him seriously. But yeah, this was a good promo. It was a strong promo. It showed that, again, Cena sees Brock as a threat. It shows that Cena is slightly concerned.
We have birthday wishes from Larry King and the Florida Georgia line. Stephen McMahon is out with Bree in the ring. This is, well, we're going to have to wait for SummerSlam after all, because that is if Brie actually makes it to SummerSlam based on her actions earlier tonight. Megan Miller has decided to press charges against Brie, and Brie is being arrested tonight. Stephanie says that Brie is incredibly fragile since her husband is cheating on her. Stephanie basically says, what comes around, goes around, and if Brie makes bail, she will see Brie at SummerSlam. I like the twist.
Oh, this is great. This was... You knew it was a setup earlier. You knew Steph was up to something. And it's just the typical, oh, you know, your husband's cheating on you to try and distract Brie. Oh, no. no, 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 no. And the second that Steppery slapped the therapist, I'm like, something's up with that.
You're waiting for the twist, and that's
you're waiting for the twist, and it just, yeah, this was great.
LeMans brought up earlier, I feel like they should have had Brie kind of play that I don't care, I'm going to jail role, not crying. He brought that up earlier. Again, in her mind, it actually happened, and that's why she's going. She's very fragile-minded, and she's being arrested, and she's supposed to be the good girl, and good girls don't get arrested.
Yeah, the thing is it's like, you can play that off all you want, but you're going to jail. And it's easier to play it off as you're crying than it is to be cocky about it. Very few people can pull that off well. Austin, Taker, and McMahon are about the only people I've seen ever be able to pull off cocky when they're getting arrested.
And he makes a good point, and I was thinking about this too. More angry at stuff. She should have, yeah, I would agree with that. She should have been more,
yeah,
I'm going to get you, I'm going to get you for this, I'm going to get you for this, that type of deal, than just standing there. That's the one thing that was missing, and maybe we'll get some of that coming up. But yeah, a little bit more anger would have been nice. I agree.
Yeah, a little bit more anger, I would agree with that, but yeah, in terms of you get humble real quick when they slap a pair of handcuffs on you and they read you your rights, because it's, oh, shit, I've done it now.
Uh-huh. So, I'm looking forward to Steph and Brie. We'll talk about more of that on Thursday on The Rack. Next in the match that will make the internet decide, who should we pick? Dolph Ziggler versus Heath Slater, one-on-one. They had a solid match between the two. Miz was on commentary at one point. JBL accidentally pulled out the microphone of the Miz as he was just going off. He was just going off and off and off about different things. He even brought up how Michael Cole was his biggest cheerleader, and now he's not, which was funny.
Thank you, Miz. Thank you for pointing it out.
Yeah. Ziggler hits a zigzag, but Miz goes to the ring. Ziggler punches him off the apron, and he goes after Miz. They fight around the ring. And after a 10 count, the winner of the match, Heath Slater. Heath Slater's winning streak continues on shows that matter.
Hey.
It's like 3-0 on shows that actually count. So there you go. Our main event of the evening. We should say Ziggler offered a hand to Slater. Slater goes for a kick, but Ziggler blocked and laid him out with a zigzag. Our main event of the evening, Randy Orton versus Sheamus. They had their typical match. That's all I can say. It was a good match. Just a typical Randy Orton-Sheamus match. Sheamus came off the top rope into an RKO.
Anytime you watch a Sheamus match, you just kind of stand there and go, ow, 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 like owie.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when he does the beating on the outside of the ring. I mean, God, how?
Yeah. He did the old vintage Orton pose after the RKO. Which was nice. So now we go to the main event. The main event of Monday Night Raw. Hulk Hogan's 61st birthday celebration. And of course, it's fitting. Mean Gene Okerlund is the one to introduce Hulk Hogan. I gotta love that they brought out Mean Gene. You also had Jimmy Hart out there. You had the entire locker room on the stage, including Bo Dallas and his cheesy ass grin. Just tremendous. He brought out Hogan. He comes through and he parts the Red Sea, comes out, celebrates with the crowds. Gene says that they've never had a birthday party like this, so they're going to celebrate Hulk Hogan style. And we had a very nice video package. It brought Hogan to tears just about. Mean Gene says a reception like this has to do a heart good. Hogan says that he wants to try to get something mustard up in Portland, and he tells Mean Gene something like he normally does. And all day long, people have been showering him with presents. Even Vince McMahon himself, the old man, gave him a present. And he says everyone knows how much it is to subscribe to the WWE Network, it's $9.99. So Vince McMahon gave him a birthday card with $9.99 inside. Vince wanted to make sure Hulk Hogan could subscribe to the WWE Network to watch SummerSlam this Sunday, brother. I kind of found that funny. He says this is the greatest birthday he's ever had. When you turn 61, you start to reflect on things. It's a two-way street, and he says that he hopes that he's touched everyone's life as much as he's touched his. We've touched his. He loves the Hulkamaniacs, and he loves the WWE Universe. We hear a woo. Ric Flair comes out. It's a party. You know, Ric Flair's going to show up no matter where it is. Then we hear Mr. Wonderful's theme as Paul Orndorff in his robe came out.
He's such a nice-looking old man.
And we're in Portland, which means it's the home of the hot rod, Rowdy Roddy Piper. And then we hear the familiar tune of the NWO as Scott Hall and Kevin Nash made their way to the ring. And then we got the vintage Hey Yo from Scott Hall, which was awesome to hear one more time on Raw, because it's been like forever that we've heard it on Raw. Go ahead.
He looked so, so good.
He did look good. And he says the Outsiders are honored to be here. It helps him celebrate his birthday. He says that Hogan looks sweet in the red and yellow, but it's time to take a survey. And he asked the question, how many people came here to see Hulk Hogan in the red and yellow? Or did you like him better when he was rocking the black and white of the NWO? Hogan rips off his shirt, surprisingly, to an NWO shirt underneath, brother. So survey says, one more for the good guys. So, Kevin Nash picks up the mic, says he's done a lot of things in his career, but he's never done this, and begins to sing happy birthday to Hulk Hogan. Oh, Hogan, Kevin Nash trying to sing, that was fantastic.
That was amazing.
As they get to the end of the song, well, things did not go as planned, as Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman decide to show up. And with a face, it was a Brock stares down Flair and Orndorff, and Lindsay said when he walked up to Orndorff, basically, don't kill the man. So,
don't kill the legends! Save the legends! Don't let Roddy near him! Oh my god, he'll try to take him out!
He stared down everybody, including Kevin Nash and Hulk Hogan. Hogan started to muscle up and get in his face, and Paul Heyman said, what you gonna do? And, well, Brock said, party's over, Grandpa. So Brock's ready to fight. Out comes John Cena. He's ready to go. He's telling Brock to let's go, let's go, let's go. And Heyman and Brock leave to booze as we go off the air. As I mentioned, it was, as we came on the air, they had candles on the birthday cake after the show. It said $9.99. So, I love the segment. It was fun close. Cool to see Paul Orndorff. It was cool to see Piper and Flair. And it was cool to see Kevin Nash and Scott Hall together.
Oh, I agree. I completely agree. There were some really nice surprises in who they had come out. You know, we were all kind of expecting Piper because they're in Portland, which, yes, Piper would have been, it would have been awesome to see Piper go at a coconut, you know, at Brock. But yeah, he would have died, which would be unfortunate. As we all love Piper, we don't want to see Brock eat him. But it was cool to see Paul Orndorff. It was really cool to see Hall and Nash. And just, you know, do the old NWO shtick one more time, like I said. Scott looks amazing. You can tell the yoga, the DDP plan, we'll just call it that, has done absolute wonders for him. He looks amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, I liked how they had Flair out there, but they kind of minimized his role. I liked how they used Brock, and I liked how when Cena came out and made the save, that Cena, again, was serious. And again, it's, where the hell were you during WrestleMania? Like, that's all I could keep thinking because I was just irritated. But, yeah, this was really good. This was a great closing to Monday Night Raw.
It really, really was. So, we'll see what happens at SummerSlam. Does Brock Lesnar win the WWE World Heavyweight Championship? Does Brie Bella get revenge on Stephanie McMahon? Will she even make it if she gets bent out? But we will talk all about... We'll talk all about that more on Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern on The Rack. Your cue.
Oh, that's my cue? Sorry, reading things. Anyway, 10 p.m. Eastern, The Rack. Tune in, we're going to be talking all about SummerSlam, giving preview and pick'em. We're going to give you our opinions on the matches and what we think is going to happen. We'll be talking about NXT. We have news, we have notes, we have so much. 10 p.m. Eastern, The Rack. It's going to be the hottest show of the year on Thursday night.
I can't add any more to that. Check out RackRadioShow.com and Facebook.com/W2TheRack and Twitter.com/WTTR_Rack. Saturday night, midnight edition is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. We have a bunch of blame Robs and one that Rob's not taking credit for. Tune in, CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight is at CB Radio WTR and Facebook.com/cigarettebutts. And Bandana Sunday night.
No. He has to take credit for it.
He doesn't.
It's a damn it, Rob. It's a big damn it, Rob.
Hashtag blame Rob. He doesn't want to take. He's not taking credit for it.
I don't care.
All right. Well, sorry, Rob.
Love you, Rob. But really, I mean, really, seriously, we're gonna have to have a talk about this.
Sunday night, it is WTR Sunday night with Tim Steinmason and Omega. They'll be covering SummerSlam at a special start time, 11 p.m. Eastern, after you watch WWE SummerSlam on the WWE Network for only $9.99. We'll be back next Monday night for another edition of the Raw Post Show live across the airwaves on the Raw Talk Radio Network. You can listen to this show anytime on the go when we are live on TuneIn Radio. Just search Wild Talk Radio Network. Get the app. It is free. Also Stitcher and iTunes for the podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Check out WTRProductions.com as well.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LINSWRD. Go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view it, it is also available for your viewing pleasure at Behance.net/Linsward, same as the Twitter. And of course, check out The Rack Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, where we're going to be doing our SummerSlam Spectacular, because it will be the hottest show of the summer. So tune in and listen. Or we will find you. We'll steal Chris Jericho's Google Earth.
He does have Google Earth, he told us.
He told us. We have it recorded for posterity.
Yes, yes, we do. So, for Lindsay Ward, I'm Sorak. This has been another edition of Raw Post Show. Thanks to PW Mania and YouTube.com/MBG1211 for Wrestling Figure Wednesday. She's Lindsay. I'm Rock. We'll see you Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern for The Rack. And right back here every Monday night, right after Monday Night Raw ends. We're here on Wild Talk Radio Network on WildTalkRadio.com. Good night, everybody.